CliffCentral.com. All right, speaking of learning things, it's time to check in on the Burning Platform with Catherine Child this morning. Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's, and she's actually attending the Discovery Conference later on, so she's on the line on Skype from her car. Isn't that great? Are you in your car right now, Catherine?
I'm not in my car. I was Ubered to Sandton because Discovery's partnering with Uber.
Yeah.
So I came here like a celebrity and got dropped off.
Nice. What's it looking like there? Busy?
I've actually come into, it is busy, so I've come into the shopping mall next door just to escape all the security, because there's a lot of security today.
Well, are you most excited to hear Bill, David Cameron, Crooked Hillary, or one of the other speakers?
Caster Semenya. Like, I think she's the biggest leader out of all of them.
Okay.
Whether or not you think she should run, I mean, I think the way that she handles all the furore around her and her grace is impressive.
That is impressive.
I mean, I personally don't think she should be running, but I'm dying to hear what she has to say. David Cameron, not so much.
Yeah, the Brexit man.
The Brexit man who had to resign, who's coming to talk to us about leadership.
all right, so let's talk about stuff that we are currently dealing with in the news. Brian Hlongwa. Tell us about this guy again. Remind us who he is.
So he was MEC for Health from about 2006, and he was so corrupt. But it took, and so in 2010, Jacob Zuma asked the SIU to investigate him and all the corruption around the Gauteng Department of Health. Mm-hmm. They do a massive investigation, and then the report gets buried for 7 years. And then somehow in 2017, it gets passed on to Zuma. Section 27 asks for the report. They put in a PIA application, which is a legal application to get it. Mm-hmm. They don't get the report, but then Ramaphosa becomes president and their PIA is successful. And they release it quite strategically on the day that the NHI plans are announced by the minister.
Ooh.
I don't know if that was on purpose, but here you've got the health minister saying, well, we want the state to kind of control health. And then you have this report coming out about how the state used the health department to steal 1.2 billion rand. So it was, makes you think.
All right, so what's the latest with him? He's been accused of making a billion rand from this corruption racket, much maligned for his role in Life Estimeni, and we know that that hasn't completely been resolved yet. We did have the inquiry. No one's really taken the blame for that Estimeni situation, have they?
So I don't think Brian Hlongwa was in any way involved with Estimeni because he'd resigned by then.
Okay.
You might be mixing him up with Kidani, who
Mahlangu,
was involved, and who was part of the same kind of disciplinary process in the last week. But no, so Brian kind of disappeared from public eye in 2010, and everyone forgot about him except for Jack Bloom and the DA and Section 27, who kept saying, what's going to happen? This guy stole all this money from the poor, from health, and something needs to happen. So this week he lost his job working for the Gauteng legislature, but he's still part of the ANC and he's still part of their provincial executive committee because they decided not to fire him from the party despite stealing 2 billion.
All right. Well, I mean, he doesn't sound to me like a very savory guy, but then the ANC's got a lot of unsavory people in their ranks.
Very much. I mean, the way he committed fraud is quite clever. And at least his wife got involved. There's one line in the SIU report that says, beauty and the bribe, but as she was taken in limousines for spa treatment. He got his whole house bought in Bryanston, which, credit to Jack Bloom, never ever shut up about that house. I mean, I remember years ago him going on about how does this man afford a 7 million rand house, but it was bought for him by a company that he was getting lots of work to. But the company wasn't doing the work. The Gauteng Department of Health was doing the work. And those outsiders were being paid to sort out the budget, which they weren't sorting out. So they were basically being given millions to do nothing.
Well, as I understand it then, what you're actually doing is giving him some credit for being quite creative and smart about the way he did his corruption, unlike so many people who just, sort of stumble upon things.
It does seem creative and also ridiculous. I mean, they decided to have cricket hats. Now, why the Department of Health needs to brand cricket hats, what a cricket hat is, I'm not even sure, and backpacks. And they spent more than 1 million rand on these cricket hats, 14,000 of them. It doesn't say what they were branded on. But, I mean, somehow managed to get 1 million rand out just to buy 14,000 hats. And then 700,000 on backpacks that were going to be branded with some health message.
Well, so, you've got to have hats and backpacks. I mean, what kind of what's wrong with you? These are important things.
And IT stuff. I mean, they put up this whole project that they were going to broadcast through TV to patients in clinics waiting for AOVs, messages about HIV and health, which they never did. So they got lots and lots of money for these great IT projects. And as we know, the Department of Health is still all paper-based. I mean, when they went up in fire recently, a lot of records were burnt. So they spent millions on making the department tech-savvy, except they didn't. The money just went into people's pockets. And Shlongo was like just like the Gupta people. I mean, it looks like they may have been involved a little bit through the company Regiment Health. And this is as far back as 2006. And he was being flown to Dubai, Vienna, London, Cape Town. So he got a lot of overseas trips as well.
Let me just divert our attention, because we talk about corruption. And for the longest time, I thought the DA were being very unkind to Patricia de Lille. I thought it was a very bad move politically, because she's quite popular. She was a firebrand. She was one of their more interesting additions in the last couple of years when she came across from the Independent Democrats. She has been the mayor of Cape Town for some time now, and by all intents, she was pretty good at that job. It turns out that she's also had her hand in the pie. Your phone, by the way, is going crazy this morning.
Sorry, I'm not sure what that is.
No, it's lots of messages. Or else you've left on the vibrate phone.
She hasn't paid her TV license.
I'm always getting those TV license calls. I don't own a TV. So I haven't followed Patricia de Lille very closely, because it's just annoying.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a 2,000-page report that alleges that she basically turned her a blind eye to tender corruption when a bus company was given a tender they shouldn't have, and she protected her staff. So I know she keeps denying it, but it's an independent report finds that she was corrupt. And as Gareth van Onselen from the Institute of Race Relations keeps saying, she won't answer the question, did she send the SMS? And the SMS was sent to Xanthia Limburg, who works for the city of Cape Town, telling her who to employ in a job interview process, which of course is illegal. And she will not reply and say, well, I didn't send it, or I did send it. I did say who needs to be employed. So, you know, until we get a straight answer, I don't have much time for her.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are quite disappointed by the fact that she came out all combative and said, you know, let there be an inquiry, let them come and investigate. I'm going to open the doors. I'm going to open all the documents that they need. And now suddenly she's very quiet, and she's playing a completely different game to the one that she was playing 3 or 4 months ago when she was protesting her innocence.
Yeah, and she put up a tweet yesterday of her in boxing gloves with the mayor's medal on, like dancing around. Again. So, I mean, it's just actually got absurd. Like, as someone tweeted, we are led by idiots.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the legal firm clearly did their work, so she better come up with a good excuse to explain her role in turning a blind eye to tender corruption.
And the DA also dealing with embarrassment, because they sent a bunch of people to protest Duduzane Zuma outside the court the other day, and the people they sent to protest in their DA shirts ended up wanting to take selfies with Duduzane Zuma. I mean, that's almost comical, right?
It is comical. The DA, I think they should just make a joke of it instead of saying they're going to investigate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does kind of concern you as a party if the people you think are going to vote and then even protest for you are immediately overawed by a good-looking man. He apparently told the journalist he's tired of being seen as a sex object. But that was Karen Morn. But he did pose with all these DA people. He literally lets them take selfies with him. So I don't think he's that tired of it.
He told Karen Morn he's tired of being seen as a sex object.
Yeah, but he posed with the protesters who forgot that they were there to protest against him and were overawed by his good looks.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, other stories that are going on in the news that have got your attention this week?
Well, I wrote a story. It's kind of odd, but the SA Blind Society and a blind woman called Amanda Bester have taken the Department of Home Affairs to the Equality Court in Cape Town.
Yeah.
The matter was actually heard, and they're waiting for judgment, because they wouldn't let her guide dog with her into the Mossel Bay Home Affairs branch. The reasons, and this is in court papers, so it's not a spokesperson, they said people inside the branch were scared of the dog and that they were screaming and shouting. Now, she said she heard no screaming and shouting, and she denies all the facts. But they went as far as blaming apartheid. this is Home Affairs.
For the dog?
The guide dog could not come inside the branch where this blind woman was being assisted because the people inside the branch were scared. It was causing a commotion in a crowded and confined space. Because the apartheid police used to use dogs against protesters and violently. So people, because of apartheid, are still scared of dogs, and that's why the guide dog was denied entry. So there you go, the apartheid excuse used in court.
Imagine putting your victimhood ahead of that of a blind woman whose dog is there not for recreational purposes, but to help her see her way around a place that is unfamiliar to her. Imagine how derelict your brain has to be for that to happen.
And she maintains, she was with her mother. She maintains that her mother told her, look, you can leave the dog in the car if they won't let it in.
Right.
Because it's not crowded, you're going to get help quickly, which she did because there weren't lots of people. So even the excuse that there was commotion and screaming and fear.
Nonsense.
Well, apparently there were only four people inside, so she doesn't think there was a lot of fear. And she argues in court that it's the department's role to teach people that guide dogs are safe, they're trained, they're not aggressive.
We talk about equality, and we talk about a country where we care about the rights of disabled people. Part of dealing with blind people and their problems is that you have to deal with their dogs. It's a well-known thing all over the world. I don't know why that excuse should even rear its ugly head in this country. It seems to me utterly ridiculous. So you'll keep... You'll keep us informed as that case starts to gather momentum.
Yes, all she wants is a sign at Mossel Bay saying guide dogs are permitted and the staff to be trained to recognize what a guide or working dog is.
Yeah.
So why are they opposing it in court and wasting taxpayers' money? I don't know. Because she's not asking for money. She's just asking that people get trained on how to accommodate the blind and their dogs.
Unbelievable. All right, that's the Burning Platform for this morning, which is brought to you by Nando's. Some pretty interesting stuff going on there. Imagine going into a home affairs department with your guide dog because you can't see.
I'm interested to know what breed it was, purely because I've been told before.
Alsatians.
Yeah,
German Shepherds
are an issue,
yeah.
Especially the really dark ones, and that those still do instill fear.
Those always do look like police dogs. In movies, they are the police dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, by no means are they more dangerous than any other kind of dog.
No, exactly. It's just a perception. But it's interesting because guide dogs are usually retrievers,
Labradors
and golden retrievers. So, yeah, it would be interesting to know. CliffCentral.com